I grew up in a small household. My parents and my older brother, we lived in Santa Fe, and every weekend we would go see my grandmother, who lives in Las Lunas, which is like just barely outside of Isla de Pueblo, which is where we're from. My mother is Laguna Pueblo and Isla de Pueblo. My dad is Mississippi Choctaw. You know, I'm registered Mississippi Choctaw, but I've never actually been to Mississippi. I feel closer to my Pueblo side. My Pueblo, Isleta, it's essentially a large village with a church right in the middle, and in front of the church is the plaza where we do the traditional dances on the feast days, and the streets come off the plaza, and they're all like old houses, old adobe, and it's very dry. It's desert. It's definitely desert there.
Tumbleweeds rolling through town.
Essentially, yeah. Then you'll see a little res dog walking around. You know, you call everyone auntie. They call you son. If you, you know, go to church, then you have to greet, like, every single person there because you're probably related to them somehow. My family has this running joke that if we're going to talk about someone, we have to look around the restaurant to make sure they're not right behind us. So, I don't know, I think growing up close to the Pueblo, like every weekend with my grandma, you know, I have a strong love for the Pueblos, and I just want to bring those stories to the stage because I feel like that's not something that you see a lot.
What did you learn from your family or your community about expressing yourself creatively?
Well, my dad is an artist, and my mother, actually, they met at art school, and so they were always very supportive of arts and always wanted us to express ourselves that way. So, you know, just spending time after school at my dad's studio playing with clay and stuff, it was very formative. You know, that grew into writing. I was actually wanting to be a comic book artist, so I actually wrote and drew several comic books. Then I actually wanted to be a novelist, and that ended terribly. But actually, I took a class at University of New Mexico. I lied my way into a senior playwriting seminar. The professor was like, "Have you written plays before?" I said, of course I have. And, you know, I just sort of got my way in there. But wanting to actually write plays, I think that came from my family always bringing my brother and I to the theater. We started going to like the opera when we were five and had been going to different shows around Santa Fe and Albuquerque since we were little. I think I always had this love for the theater, and I just didn't discover it fully until after I graduated college.
I don't know many five-year-olds who would sit through an entire opera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first one was Carmen. We knew the story before. And I think for me, it was like, oh my gosh, she's going to die. She's going to die. This is going to end so tragically, and they don't even know it.
So tell me about Bingo Hall. The main character is a teenager who's having kind of an identity crisis.
Yeah, he's a high school senior living on a Pueblo village in New Mexico. He's a bingo caller. He's very performative. And he's just realizing that once he graduates, he has to decide to either leave or stay on the Pueblo. You know, that's a big question that I think a lot of natives have. How close are you tied to your culture, to your traditions? And so that's what he's struggling with during the play. If he leaves, like, how much of him is left in the Pueblo and how much can he take with him?
It's a comedy.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's not seen a lot, native comedies. You know, it's a lot of depressing things, but it's a feel-good comedy, I think, for the most part.
But it sounds like some of these conflicts run pretty deep.
A lot of people say that it's very biographical, the play, and I never actually saw it that way until people started telling me, and I'm like, okay, wow, yeah. Because I went to college in Ohio, came back to Santa Fe for a few years, and then now I'm in Chicago. But I hold Santa Fe close to my heart. The big thing for me with New Mexico is prayer. You know, Santa Fe is very, very Catholic. And so with the way I was raised, it was have respect for the church. I think that's how I connect myself to it still. I'm in divinity school at Catholic Theological Union.
I feel like you hear more about young people moving away from organized religion, not so much about people who are moving into organized religion. Oh, yeah. So what has your faith journey been like? How has it influenced your writing?
I was a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, studying to be a priest in undergrad. And I left the seminary, and that's when actually I got into playwriting. And, you know, in the play itself, there's a creation story, creation myth. And I think my love for religions and stories that are, like, you know, found in the Bible and helped spark that interest in me and that desire to write something that goes deep about who they are and what they think and how they view, you know, life and death.
So talk about the experience of producing this play with Native Voices. Who were you working with on it? How has it all kind of come together?
So first, there's a playwright's retreat, and that's like workshops. And at the end, there's a staged reading of the plays. After the staged reading, they look at all the scripts that they have, and they decide if there's one that they want to produce. So I was very fortunate that they chose mine. So I've been working with my dramaturg, Jessica Orden, for a while now. And, you know, we go over the script. We reread it and reread it forever. And then we make adjustments to it. And so when I'm here in L.A., I get to actually hear those by the actors and with the director. And I could see, like, oh, okay, no, that's not working. This is working.
What has it been like to see these words and characters that have been inside your head on a stage?
It's very humbling. You know, I had like all these ideas of who these characters are and what their life looks like. And then seeing other people bring it to life, it's, you know, it's just simply amazing. And the, like even the set, I was blown away by the set. It looks like a Pueblo house, like a exterior of a Pueblo house. And it makes me realize these people are portraying my people. Like, this could easily be my family up on the stage. I don't know, I just keep going back to the word amazing because it really is.
What does a program like Native Voices mean to you? How unique is it? What kind of opportunities do you feel like it creates for the writers and actors and also for the audience?
You know, for me, it means that Native stories will be told in the mainstream. You know, when I was little, I don't think I ever knew that Native people could write plays or act in them. Just that opportunity to have these artists collaborate with each other to produce, you know, something big and something that that has an audience. It opens a lot of doors. When I was writing Bingo Hall, you know, it was all for my mind. I was like, well, this is never going to be produced because who has 8 Native actors, you know? And to my surprise, Native Voices does. The directors of Native Voices, they've been pointing me to different theaters that I could submit my work to. And I've met a lot of Native playwrights, Native actors, directors, just through Native Voices. It's just opening a lot of doors to how can I keep my culture alive by telling these stories.
The program brings together people from a variety of tribal affiliations. I was looking at your list of actors, and, you know, people are from all over. So when you get together, what do you find that you have in common, or where do your experiences differ?
What we have in common is, you know, just small things that I never actually knew was so common. You know, like calling women older than you auntie, no matter how they're related to you. Our experiences of community, how we see the world, you know, it's all formed by us being Native Americans. I think it comes down to how our history has been told. You know, even me growing up in Santa Fe, it was very much the Pueblo Revolt didn't happen. And if it did happen, it was just a little thing, you know. Like, the Pueblos, they just didn't like the Spanish, and they didn't want them to be neighbors, you know? It wasn't like Oñate chopping off the feet of men. You know, I think natives have a very unique outlook on life. It could be guarded in some ways, but it's also very open. It's a holding what we have culturally and in our traditions close to us and showing just a little bit of it to the outside world. But at the same time, you know, embracing people of different cultures who aren't native. We know how our ancestors were treated, so we want to show this love to everyone else so they don't feel that way, so they don't feel ostracized for being who they are. And so I think that's what brings us together. Our differences, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple, but, you know, I think they're just so small that I don't even really see them. The Native Voices community, it is a tight-knit group, and it is like a village. They lift each other up, you know, work together. Everyone involved has been very supportive and kind, and I feel, you know, even though I've only been back here, like, for a few weeks, that I feel like I've grown close to, like, the entire cast, to the producers, the directors, all, everyone.